Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me to encourage you and to finish up the story about what if Jesus had a Facebook is John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio Program.
Hello.
If you missed it, a sheriff in the first hour we talked about from Wisconsin has made a commercial that said, listen, we've laid off, I don't know, 40-something officers, maybe. And in that, you can find out more details. That he says, listen, citizens, arm yourself. We need your help. You need to rise. You got to find out. He talked about the Second Amendment, and they begin to come against him. We talked about so many wonderful things. The eyes. How do we respond to the news of the day? Lifting the ban on gay serving openly in the military. And the organization called Boy Scout. How do we respond to that? How does the church, WWJD? We're going to be talking also, by God's grace, in this extra hour about intercession. If you are an intercessor, if you're called to be an intercessor, if you are a minister going, I think I need some intercessors, that's what it is. I need somebody to sit there and just intercede for me. You need to listen to this. Man, you need to listen to this. You're listening to VFN Radio Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, so I was talking about, if you missed it, about what if Jesus had a Facebook? You think about it. What if Jesus had a Facebook? And you think about, obviously, he didn't, but he did. Just imagine that that's our culture today. And over a billion people are on Facebook, and so here he is. Always said, you know, if Jesus had a Facebook, he wouldn't need Judas, because he said, hey, I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out for men's souls. If you need something, post. Here's the tree I'm under, you know.
Yeah.
And here's the sleeping disciples. And so when he first started out and he opened his first Facebook, I mean, he's making all these posts, but he has no friends other than God. Mm-hmm. Nobody even knows it prior to John the Baptist being, you know, him being enlightened and pointing out, God pointing out his son. You know, at the Jordan, he was like 30 years old, and all of a sudden, bam. And his timeline says, you know, you know, you've been around for 30 years? You had a Facebook for 30 years? And all of a sudden, everybody, you know, well, you know, he has all these little posts like, you know, we talked about earlier, you can hear in the end of the first hour. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus had this huge crowd. Everybody's being healed, and he's posting, you know, blessed are he that are poor in the spirit, for they'll inherit the kingdom of God, and blessed are the merciful. And the next day, post on the Sermon on the Mount, because they'll receive God's mercy. I mean, it's awesome things. It's like, wow, this is great, you know. And then all of a sudden, he makes a post that says, you know, if you love your family, if you love your mama, your daddy, if you love your brother, your sister, your grandmother, or your grandpappy, or your peepaw or your meemaw, more than me, you can have no part of me. And all of a sudden, his subs went, listen, we just finally got some followers, Jesus. Last time you did, you know, so what are you doing? They're leaving us now. Mm. You know, and Jesus is going, like, they never were with us.
Right.
He said, those that actually leave you were never with you. First John talks about that. And so here he is. You know, and you think about it, it's like an ebb and flow to his likes on his Facebook. When things are going good and he has healing crusades and huge, wondrous presence of God, camping adventures, and I mean, they're just coming and coming and coming and coming when the revival's happening. Man, look, Jesus is healing and Jesus is baptizing and Jesus is refreshing. And then all of a sudden, it says, okay now, follow me. This is a post. If you don't pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me, you can have no part of me. Unlike. Just up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And all of a sudden, then these guys who are liking him on his Facebook, they begin to post things. And he's going, these guys are not. Listen. Then he posts, listen, there's false prophets amongst us. Mm. And some of these people who are doing this posting, they're not of me. But make sure you know them more by their fruit than their post. Mm. Right?
That's right.
He said, you'll know them by their fruit, not by what they say. All of a sudden, you're like, it drops by 10% because the false prophets go, oh, quick, quick, quick. They're going to check out our fruit. And it goes on, and it's just like an ebb and flow, ebb and flow. I'll follow him. I'll follow him. Oh, my goodness, there's a cost. I'll follow him. I'll follow him. He told me to deny myself, pick up my cross, and I'm gone, leave. And up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. Numbers are going. It started with one and the Father, and it came to the 12 disciples. And all of a sudden, you know, he had just a few. And then he began to heal people in Galilee, and people started liking him. And then all of a sudden, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, it went all the way back down to 12 again. But then he began to heal again. Then he began to deliver and forgive. And then all of a sudden his friend count just went way up. But then again, he said, but you have to follow me. If you don't follow me, you can have no part of me. This is a tough teaching, Jesus. Unlike. Probably the only friends he would have had is false profiles by Pharisees trying to just keep an eye on what's going on. It's just like, come on in with your own name. Anyway, so then it finally comes, you know, to John 17 when he's there and you don't know who's your friend and who's not your friend. It really boils down to you and the 12, right? And he's going, listen, I've been faithful with the friends that openly stayed with me. I've kept them except for the one who friended me but really wasn't my friend. He had other agenda, Judas. And, but I'm going away. I'm going away. Father, I pray that you would bring them likes, that they would walk as I walk, that you would send them as you sent me. I'm going to send them as you sent me so they can go in the world and let them know that we love them and have a plan for their life. Yeah, I walked the example out. People liked me and they didn't like me. People said they loved me, but the truth is they hated me. People wanted from me what they can get, but they really didn't want me. Yes, the ebb and flow of relationships and the reality. If that happened to Jesus, if they posted, listen, here he is. Jesus is walking the God in the flesh. And he's telling everybody these awesome, or imagine if he had a Facebook, and he's posting these awesome words. And then all of a sudden, right after his post, a Pharisee post, he's a devil. And all the other Pharisees go, like. And then another Sadducee post that says, his ministry, his power comes from Satan. Post. All the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the dark, like, share. See, we told you. But he just continues on. They said, by Satan, that's how he has his power, by Satan. They looked God in the face and they called him Satan. Now, I saw him today. This is the Pharisee post. I saw him today and I looked him square in the eye and he's Satan. And he posted it. Jesus said nothing like a lamb led to the slaughter. He did not defend himself. He trusted himself to him who judges justly. He didn't get on there and start posting back. No. Really. But here he is in John 17. He's saying, listen, this is the last few posts. Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one, us and them and us. May other people believe not only the message that I deliver, but the message that they deliver, that people would believe, to let them know that I love them. And that you love him as much as you love me. I mean, what an awesome post. I mean, what an awesome moment. And then suddenly, one of his friends who was on his Facebook shows up. Or imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. Judas. He only friended him for what he can get out of him. And turned him over to the Pharisees, the religious folks. And all of a sudden, even the 12 that he chose from the moment he walked out, he and the Father chose from the moment he walked out of the desert, even the 12, quietly, not publicly. Of course, Judas wanted to stay his friend. Probably he was the only one left on his Facebook. But the 12 unfriended him. They didn't say much. It was just quiet. Unlike, I can't be associated with him. He's about to be crucified. And all of a sudden, it's just him and the Father. Mm-hmm. And probably Judas. Because he did kiss him. You betray me with a like? right? Betray me with a kiss? Judas, you're the only one left, dude. We know it's you. And here he is, being falsely accused. Who are you? Is it true? Are you the Son of God? And to say that, he's not going to get any likes. Nobody's going to have anything to do with him, because to call himself the Son of God is to call every religious man a sinner that needs a Savior. For him to say, listen, this is the only way to the God that you profess that you're following is through me, the Messiah. And he said, it's true. It is true. And finally, he's marched to the cross. And he's being marched to the cross. Peter has to not only privately unfriend him, but he unfriends him three times publicly. Publicly. And this is how many people were unfriending Jesus. I mean, it was almost a void on his Facebook, because people were pulling away so fast it created a negative number of friends on his social media. We're just giving an example. They were running so fast they ran out of their clothes. It's gotta get away from him. I gotta get away from him. And Peter, they confronted him as he was watching Jesus from a distance. Aren't you the person that was on Jesus' Facebook? Mm. And he goes, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Again, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And then finally, he publicly just called down curses. It wasn't a secret betrayal or denial or unfriending for Peter. And all of a sudden, Jesus posts a video of a rooster crowing on his Facebook. Mm. He said, you'll deny me before the cock crows three times. Peter, just ashamed, just goes out, drops all the technology, goes back to fishing. Jesus is being crucified on a cross between two criminals, and it's just him and God and him and God and him and God. Everybody's run, and they left him. There's no friends. They've all left him. They don't even associate with him. It's just him and the Father, him and the Father, him and the Father. And then finally, one of the thieves that was on the side of him said, is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Is this true? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Can you forgive my sin? Is this true? If it's true, I'll be your friend. I don't care. Listen, I'm about to die. I want. And the thief on the cross, when Jesus had no friends but God, publicly sent a friend request to God. Mm. Because God was sending a friend request to man, which is Jesus. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise because you're my friend, right? Mm. Friended me. You publicly friended me. They nailed him to the cross, and all of a sudden the pain and the agony of the cross, and nobody wanted anything to do with him, and it's bad enough. He's like, Father, Father, Father. And then all of a sudden the sins of the world is put upon Jesus, and he's got the sin. He never knew sin, but now sin is on him. Not only did they reject him for good, but now there's sin on him, and God can't look upon sin. And his very only friend that he had now outside the sinner that was on the thief was on the cross was his Father, and his Father. His Father that was with him before the beginning of time, because he had to turn his head. He had to turn his head. He could not friend his own son with sin, with our sin on his back. And God, the creator of the universe, the one who gave him life, the one who hovered over the womb of Mary and birthed his son, had to do this. And he didn't. He loved you so much. He loved you so much. He loves us so much that he unfriended his own son. He disconnected from his own son. And Jesus said, Father, Father, why have you unfriended me? Why have you forsaken me? You see, the sin was on him, and he had to look away. And then all of a sudden, his own Father that unfriended him struck him, because sin had to be dealt with. Jesus was all alone. All he had was the thief. All he had was the thief holding on to the reality by faith that I'm going to friend him. I'm going to friend Jesus. I'm going to friend him. I don't care what anybody says. Listen, we're all going to die, and we're all pointing to the judgment. And the thief said, I want what you have. But now his Father, his Father, who he lived for, who he obeyed, who he did everything he said. He did everything right. Now even his father unfriended him and publicly struck him. And Jesus dies. He's got one friend. He's got the thief. And he's dead. His Facebook's still up as a memorial. People are kind of looking at it, but they're not friending it. They're not liking it. They're just kind of going, what's happening with Jesus now? He's in the grave, you know. He's in the grave. And they say, well, it seems like I saw some activity on Jesus' Facebook. You know, you saw some, how could there be activity? He's dead. No. I really think I saw some activity. Go back. Let's go look at his Facebook. Are you serious? Dude, I just saw three pictures. Somebody's hacked into his Facebook. That couldn't be Jesus. What's the pictures of? It's three keys. Three keys? Yeah, one of the keys says death. The other picture on his Facebook says hell. And the last one says the grave. He's dead. How can he be posting pictures when he's dead? And what is this key to death, hell, and the grave? What are these three keys? What's going on? Somebody's hacking in. That's some Pharisees, man. There's something going on. Somebody's trying to stir something up. And all of a sudden, 3 days later in the early morning hours, there's a post. It's a post by John and Peter. They said, listen, this Jesus that we told you about that was dead, that he's alive. He's alive. And all of a sudden, people start clicking and liking and coming. And all of a sudden, they're refreshing. He has 120 friends who are terrified. And he walks amongst them, dead people coming out of graves, and all these things are going on. And oh my goodness, what was that? What was that? He said, listen, I'm going to go be with the Father. I want you to hang around. I want you to hang around this upper room. You know, put a post out, create a group, bring them all in to the upper room, all 120 of them, bring them there, just wait. Because I'm going to go and he puts a post out. Got 120 friends. I'm gonna send down the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, the dunamis power. You're gonna be baptized with this, and it's gonna give you power to be able to do everything that I was doing. And so they go and they're huddled up and they're praying and they're unity. And all of a sudden, man, he goes to be with the Father, and boom, the church explodes. And these 120 people started posting these pictures with flames of fire on top of their heads and videos of people shut that abukeshi unda. Filled with the fire of God, and all these things are going out, and the church explodes. And Peter jumps up and he posts a sermon that literally just confronted the very people they were afraid of. And 3,000 people liked them and found God, and all of a sudden the church explodes. But that was that moment when not even God was his friend. Not even God. Let me tell you something. No matter what religion told you, friendship with the world, to be a friend of the world, to like the world, is to hate God. Is to hate God. God does not measure your value based on the crowd around you. He measures your success by your love for the Father, and him in your heart. Obedience. The culture has clicked over into some concept as that Jesus was only valuable when he had followers. Jesus was always Jesus. From the moment he left heaven to the moment he went back to the 6,000 plus years or millennials before that, he was Jesus. And he was Jesus, and he'll be Jesus forever. Listen, your life and somebody else's life, if you're following somebody just because they got a lot of followers, when you start getting posts from God in your heart that says, listen, this is not right. This is not right. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And you walk away. When he says, listen, 81% of you who profess to be following me are not even reading my commands. You're not even reading the Bible. Listen, you're not with me. Quit telling people you're not friending me. You're going to get unfriended by God. Think about it.
Wow.
He says, it's like when you publicly like me for everybody to see, but quietly, behind the scenes, you're unliking me, or in the public square that you were actually at the same time with two things coming out of your mouth. He says, you're like crucifying me all over again. You said you left your life of sin, but you're back in your sin again. You're publicly saying both things out of your mouth. Listen, it's like crucifying Christ all over again. He said there might not even be, there may not be any help for you. Listen, we've bought into this thing, but look at Jesus' life and how it would be. How it would be. You see, wide is the road. Many are the likes that leads to hell, that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate, a few likes that lead to eternal life. We'll be right back.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org. You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Extra hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Oh, my goodness. Is that an interesting perspective? If you missed that, you got to go and listen to, probably get it in highlights. Get it in the highlights. Go to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. And I don't know what it's going to be called. Probably if Jesus had a Facebook or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But listen to it and realize, my goodness, that is the message for this generation. That even... Mm-hmm. Jesus' father unliked him. Even his father unliked him. Think about it. Wow. That, and how could he be posting from the grave? How could he post three keys? How is he getting? Who is hacked into Jesus' Facebook? Because there's three keys and they're death, hell, and the grave. Right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, you think about it, that these angels grab his... This is, you know, we're just saying, what if his texting device and said, you know, that he's alive. This is Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Jesus. He's alive. Mary. text the disciples and tell them I'll be with them soon. I mean, think about the whole context of how we communicate today and all that. It's amazing. Just amazing.
Amazing.
Just totally, totally blessed me. John, you're not going to be what happened.
Talk to me. What happened?
We were checking the mail yesterday, and I found out that Donna got a draft notice.
She did.
I know it. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have to start getting on the doing running together or something. I'm like, are you going to cut your hair? What are you going to do? You know, and I'm thinking, like, a draft notice. Think about this. Obviously, she didn't get a draft notice. Can you imagine, though, coming home now that women can go in combat on the front lines and you have to probably register for selective service like guys, and all of a sudden you come home and you find out that your wife is being drafted in the military? I mean, what do you say? I mean, do you stand on the shore as her ship's going off crying and throwing rice at the ship or something that they used to do where the guys would go off and she would be there in her Cracker Jacks, you know, outfits, standing at parade rest on the side and your wife's looking. It's like, what's going on here? This makes no sense.
Yeah.
This makes no sense. Where's your mama? She's right there, son. She's in camis. You can't see her right now. She had to move around a little bit. She's blending in with a pattern on the couch.
She's stealth right now.
Hey, you coming there? Can you fix me something? Excuse me. I'm loading my AK-47 right now. It's like, what's mama doing? Nothing, son. Step out of the room. Step out of the room. Step out of the room.
Step back. Step back.
Something's just not right. No, just walking around the house. Man, have you seen my, what's the knife on the top of your gun? Have you
seen
bayonet?
Your wife's going, have you seen the butter and the bayonet? I got to get my bayonet. I got to report to duty today. And I don't say anything. I'm just thinking like just the paradigm shift of.
It's a hard shift.
Well, it's a really hard shift. And it's it's a biblical sign for those who don't know what to do with the news. We know that we are under God's judgment. Yeah. That the day that men send their women to fight for them, not saying that women can't fight, is the fact that a man would send his wife to fight for him. And not at least be by her side to fight with her, you know, and vice versa, is a sign that, you know, a rebellious nation, women and children rule over it. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. And the reason why the houses are upside down, the reason why the marriage is upside down, because the church is in rebellion. You're never going to take a couple, a family through counseling until there's a repentance there. It's always going to be upside down. It's always going to be upside down because a rebellious people always have women and children rule over it. And what's America look like today?
Right.
Upside down. Totally upside down. Totally upside down. Well, praise God. No, she don't have a draft notice. She has no draft notice, you know. And but just to think of that, I like to think, oh my goodness, that is something else, man. So talk to me, man. Talk to me. Tell me about this forgiveness. What's God doing?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, I was reading God's word. And I was coming across Matthew 18:21 says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Peter and these questions, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? You know, Peter thinking, that's a whole lot. You know, I'm going to give God seven times. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not even seven times, but 70 times. And, you know, Jesus, you know, continues to share a parable about a king who was wanting to settle an accounts with, one people that owed him money. And I'm paraphrasing here. And basically this guy comes up and the king summons this guy and the guy owes him, you know, maybe what would be equivalent, I'm just guessing, be, you know, $20 million or so, I don't know, $50 million. And the guy begs for mercy. You know, he's begging. You know, no, I can't pay this. And King was going to basically lock him up and his whole family up because he couldn't pay him the debt. And because he begged for mercy, the king just let him go. He says, all right, look, I'm not even going to just, you know, forget it. It's forgiven. Your debt's forgiven. Just go. And so I'm sure the guy had a great sigh of relief and just, you know, takes off and goes about his life. And I guess, you know, some time later, someone who observed this whole, you know, miracle of forgiveness that occurred to this guy sees the same guy who's forgiven millions, you know, millions. This same guy was choking out somebody else that owed him $20, the equivalent would be like $20.
Wow. What'd they say?
You know, they're like, wait a minute. Wait one second. Is this the same guy? Is this the same dude? you know.
Yeah.
So of course they're like, you know, nuh-uh. We're going to tell the king about this one. This guy doesn't get this. He obviously forgot
what God has done for
him.
Obviously forgot. And you know, God is so faithful. By the way, He is so faithful. If you don't think He's faithful, when we take those approaches, God says, "Oh, let me just be faithfully to remind him of his need for forgiveness, mercy, and grace."
I mean, this is serious, serious stuff.
Very serious. $1 million, dude.
Yeah. You know, so he goes back and the king's like, wait a minute. You know, I forgave you all of this. He's like, this ain't going to work, you know. And basically, he started begging again and the king just threw him in prison. You know, just threw him in prison. And the word says, you wicked servant, verse 32, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master turned them over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed.
So literally, then he was forgiven because he didn't forgive.
Yeah.
Like he was forgiven. Then everything he was forgiven of, he was not forgiven anymore.
Exactly.
Didn't Jesus say, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you?
Same.
So he's actually given an example of like, I thought you forgave me for that. You know, hello, why are you bringing that back up? Where'd that come from? It's like, because you're holding unforgiveness towards a sister or a brother or a spouse or a child or a parent or, you know.
Yeah, and that's huge.
And he said, to be tormented. No, he didn't say that. What did you say now? He said that, so you're going to be locked down.
Until he turned over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father would treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
Isn't it amazing, though, John, how many people don't understand that you're just killing yourself by holding unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be tormented and tortured with a permission slip from God.
Mm.
For everything to go wrong in your life, physically, emotionally, relationally, economically, all these things can be tormented. It's like, it's just tormented and tortured. Yeah. And you hear their conversation about every 3 days, they talk about people that they're holding unforgiveness towards and bitterness towards. And they owe me.
Yeah.
Wow. And so then the only way you can get out of that jail, how do you get out of that tormented jail then? How does he say you can get out of that jail?
You forgive everyone.
No. Is there another way out of that tormented jail? I mean, is there any other way? Is there any other way to come out of that?
No.
Oh, my goodness. You have to forgive somebody?
Ain't no plan B to this.
Ain't no plan B.
Ain't no plan B. You got
to
forgive.
I've seen people trying to dig underneath those particular tormented jails. Like, no, just go forgive them. Just go forgive them and let them go.
And the thing is, I mean, you would think that, I mean, some people stick so close to forgiveness, you would think that unforgiveness felt so good. I mean, like, what part of unforgiveness feels good every time you think about the person you're upset, every time you think about the offense, you're hurt, you're like, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't even connect right with you.
Right.
And it's better to recognize, it's, you know, Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. I mean, it's like we need to start extending some mercy to people in view of the same mercy
that we've been given.
Hello, that God's been given.
You know what's huge about that? Because Jesus said this, and you know, people have done away with the words of Jesus. Listen, if for a while, just hover in the Gospels and stay away from other things, books and stuff that people are doing, you know, writing, and let's hang there and realize Jesus said this. Listen, if you will not forgive your brother, I will not forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And then he gets what you're talking about as a scenario. He's giving a picture of what it's going to look like. And the mercies of God is he's going to allow you to be motivated so you don't bust hell wide open.
Yeah.
He's going to allow people say, oh, well, you can disobey God, live in rebellion, be crucified Christ all over again. You can hold all this unforgiveness in your life. But God's going to go, just welcome you and come up here and just let me give you a big hug in heaven when all you had to do was to forgive like God forgave you. Freely you received it.
That's right.
Freely give it.
Right.
Who are we to hold anything against? Who owes? Nobody owes us anything.
Exactly.
And those people that are holding unforgiveness, it boils down to that they think somebody owes them something.
Right.
Owes them an apology, owes them money, owes them stuff, owes them a better attitude, owes them a better nation.
Right.
Let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. In view of what God's been, and mercy is not getting what you deserve. And I was like, let's not start talking about what we deserve. Let's not bring that subject up. You know what I mean?
It's interesting to you that you're saying, you know, obviously Jesus is saying, he says, this is how your heavenly Father will treat you.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, Satan's getting blamed with so many things.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's the mercies of God, and I think about this, I don't know if it was the call or what particular prophetic vision that Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries is writing down, but he's in heaven, he's looking at, there's different levels of heaven, there's a bottom level of heaven. And he sees this man on the lowest level of heaven. He was, in the day when he was on earth, everybody would have thought, well, he has this, he's obviously a man walking with God. He's going to be, if there is levels, he'd be in the top level. And he said, what are you doing down here? You know, what are you doing down here? And he goes, well, you know, I was walking around in sin. I was walking around in sin that I was in error and pride. Mm-hmm. But God was merciful on me. He gave me a wasting disease.
Oh, that's right, yes.
That led me to repentance. In other words, God had me tormented and tortured till I finally got rid of my pride.
Mm-hmm.
I finally, on the table of all the consequences of all the things I carried in my heart, the pressure drove me to the cross. I was a taskmaster. Mm. It drove me to, he had mercy on me. And before my life had ended, I repented for my sin.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful though? He says, and he's, of course, he's like, it doesn't, you know, you're here, you're good. And it was given a perspective to Rick, you know, Joyner about, and us, as he shared it with us, that that's the same thing, that it's the mercies of God. Somebody says, well, why would God torment and torture you? I already am a victim of somebody that I believe that they owed me something. And now I feel like I'm a victim of God. No, the truth is that you're a victim of yourself.
That's right.
You're a victim of your self-righteousness. You're a victim of your own pride. Of your own, somebody owes you.
Mm.
And let me tell you something. If you think somebody owes you something, this is how it goes. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me, you own me. You own me, you own me. Because you'll be a slave to that mindset. You'll be a slave and you'll be trapped. You'll be stuck. Because all your life you're saying, they need to do something before I can do something. Which means this, they're holding the key to your destiny, to your future. And then if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you'll never enter into it. You surrendered your destiny to this person instead of taking it back and take it to the cross. Because listen, if you're saying somebody else has got to do something before you do something, that means they hold their whole power over you.
Yeah.
But if you say, no, that's not true, I'm going to forgive them and let them go, like Jesus is telling Peter, then you take back control of your own destiny and you lay that down at the foot of the cross of Christ. And you just go, freely I receive, freely I give. You owe me nothing. Then he says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. So next time you see the person in your heart, you're going, listen, is there something I can do for you?
That's right.
If somebody walks up with a gold coin and a glass of water, understand they're just moving in God.
it's hard to have ill feeling towards someone you're praying for and blessing, let me tell you. Start blessing them. You've got to change your heart towards them. It reminds me of a story that I saw of a family in Tallahassee, actually. Their daughter was dating this young man, and something had happened. Apparently, they actually were going to get married, as I understand the story. And he had a gun, and they got into an argument. He wound up killing their daughter. I mean, he shot her. And, you know, as I'm hearing the story, you find out that, you know, she's being rushed to the hospital. The police are running to arrest this guy, and the parents rush to the hospital to be at the daughter's bedside, and the father's saying, as he's holding his daughter's hand, he's saying, you know, she's trying last words, and she's looking at her dad saying, Dad, forgive him, Dad, just, you know, forgive him. And a few moments later, she dies.
Wow.
The girl dies. Yeah. Wow. So the parents, I mean, there's a close relationship, the parents of the daughter and the young man who wound up shooting and killing his girlfriend, they're friends. All of these folks are friends. And the father had some challenges and had to pray about it. And ultimately, what they wind up doing with this young man, they sought the court system to do this new way of justice called restorative justice.
Mm-hmm.
restorative justice where they didn't want to be tormented and tortured by what had happened. They wanted to release this guy. At the same time, they didn't want to see this man lose his life, you know, and just they wanted him to get help. And I just thought, what an amazing picture of just the forgiveness and the love of God, you know, learning to have this restorative justice where this young man can get healed and they can release at the same time, you know, any kind of ill feeling to God and you know, not towards him. Right. And it's beautiful.
I want to continue talking about this because this is very important. I want to talk about John G. Lake and his wife and what they had to do for healing right there. We'll be right back after this message.
Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know apps, Steve. Come on, I gotta bring you 21st century.
Yeah, and I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFNTV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN radio is through the social networking community. Over 1 billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words. All the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east is from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're setting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is so, so very important. What we discover, what John was sharing with us, is the fact, the words of Jesus, that if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. And then Jesus, then he gives us a paradigm, he gives us a story, he gives us an allegory of what it's actually going to be like. And then we discover that if we don't forgive, God doesn't forgive us. But then he's going to allow us to be tormented and tortured to motivate us to obey him so that we don't spend eternity in hell separated from him. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of this. When you were talking, John, I was thinking about John G. Lake, you know, one of God's generals, man that started over 5,000 churches and church plants in Africa, who was just so strong in his faith that you could put the diseases in his hand and the disease would die in his hand. That was how powerful his faith was in God. And then he had healing houses and healing rooms all over all over America and maybe other places as well. Like, you just go to your local 7-Eleven, you can go to the local prayer room, and they would pray over you, and people would be healed. But this is what's interesting, was that he and his wife would minister together.
In Wisconsin, by the way.
Oh, wow. No, didn't know that. There you go. But he and his wife would minister together, and his wife would first have had a spirit of discernment and could discern what was going on, the gift of discernment. And then he would actually move in the gift of healing, and they would kind of go together in that. But the wife would first talk to the person and begin to understand that God would reveal to her that there's unforgiveness in your life. And they would have to, because they were sick, they were tormented, they were diseased. These things were in their life. And it's not all diseases, not this way, but this talking about this particular thing that happens is motivation to repent. And we should always ask ourselves every day, you know, Lord, is there something I need to get right in my heart? Not just when we're hurting. And she would talk to them, and God would, and she would bring things up, and they go, yes, you know, this happened in my life, and I've been holding unforgiveness now for 20 years. And it's like, think about it. Is it working for you now? Here you are trying to get healing because you've been tortured and tormented. And so they would forgive. And when they would forgive that person, when they forgive all these people that they've been holding this bitterness and resentment from, then he would pray for them, and they would be healed.
Wow.
They would be completely and totally healed.
Mm-hmm.
Then other ones who would not forgive, they would go, I would never let that person go. She did this and da-da-da, or he did that, and I'm not going to. Then they wouldn't get healed. Healing wouldn't happen for that person.
Right.
And then there was the people that would kind of like, you know, kind of give a halfway, you know, kind of hack their way through it or whatever. They talked about halfway repentance. And they'd be partially healed.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. Do you want a healing? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be free? Forgive today. It's free of charge. Freely you've received it. Freely give it. Listen, it's the mercies of God that when the pressure's on you for doing what's wrong. I'm looking at people right now. I'm thinking, just they're crossing my mind. There's some people that have lived their whole life in bitterness, religious bitterness and resentment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in ministries and this kind of stuff, and they're just... And the pressure's on them now. I mean, the pressure's on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and this is what you think. You think, oh, maybe they'll humble themselves and repent. Maybe they'll say, I'm sorry for my life of bitterness and all these different things that I've done. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think about your grandmother. You remember your grandmother? She lived this whole life. Both grandmothers. I'm talking about that one over there. She was bitter.
Yeah.
You know, but when she began to lose her mind, it was a gift.
Sure was. Yeah.
It was a gift. She lost her strongholds when she lost her mind.
Totally lifted.
She totally lost any things that would hold her back. She just said, you know, her love. The love just came over, and the opposite of who she was. With those strongholds, she spoke openly in the opposite of that. And where she said, I would hate this person, now she's saying, I love, and she pointed at somebody that she would have hated her whole life. And she says, I love that one over there. I mean, just totally, it was so free. I mean, that was huge.
There was.
Right? And I remember you and I was visiting her. This is so hilarious. We were visiting her. She was in an assisted living facility, and we were just stopped by to see how she's doing and all. And she was, I thought she was funny.
Yeah.
And
actually, both of them at that time.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And she was at a dining room table with, you know, some other elderly ladies that were there. And we're just talking. It's kind of quiet. You're kind of focused on the one that you're visiting, right? But everybody's around there.
Right.
And finally, she just looks up all the way across, points all the way across the room at the table and points at this one woman and says, she cries all the time. Right?
She
cries all the time.
All the time.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my goodness. You know, what do you do with that, right? What do you do with that? But what's so cool was, it's almost like the mercies of God freed her from all those evil mindsets that held her captive her whole life. And just in a moment, and the loss of what you thought would be her mental faculty, she really gained it. She gained compassion and love and... Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, God, you're so merciful and you're so kind. And just like that man we're talking about before the break that you know, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries saw on the bottom floor of heaven, the least level in heaven, that he was just grateful that God had given him a wasting disease because it humbled him to the point that he was able to come to his senses and repent before he had died. Listen, why waste your life like that? That's a great medical. Here's a great medical advice for you. Forgive everybody. Just, I mean, to me, it's like, dude, I just, you know, where does it come from? Do you think somebody owes you? I mean, this is whole generation today. This whole, it's like everybody, the government owes me. My parents owe me. My children owe me. My spouse owe me. It's like, do you know where you came from? Do you know who you are? I mean, really, why do they owe you something? I mean, let me see your books. I mean, let me see, let me look at your company books. Maybe there's something I'm not getting here. And your balance sheet's going to show that you've been found left wanting. I mean, you got the same debt that they have called the debt of sin. And why do you think they owe you? I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. And what happens is the enemy deceives people and thinking that my life would be better and I wouldn't be as bad or be whatever if somebody would just would have been better. And the thing is, the truth is, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. And the longer you live life, you realize, you know, thank God that Jesus spoke a few words and wrote in the sand, because we might have would have stoned somebody that Jesus wanted to forgive.
Yeah. Then we start putting judgments over people. You know what I'm saying? You locked them in the judgments because we've got to forgive them. We got to blame somebody for this mess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and obviously. So, go ahead.
Yeah, you lock them in there. You lock them in that judgment. And then on top of, you know, being another torture is that this, in the same measure that we use to judge someone, it's going to be measured right back to us. And it's like.
Exactly. That's what he's saying.
This is getting progressively worse here.
And they pray, people pray the Lord's Prayer. It's like, Lord, forgive others. I forgive others, Lord, as you know, I forgive others as you forgive. I forgive. I'm dyslexic at this moment right here. But I forgive others that sinned against me as you forgive. Forgive.
Moving on.
Forgive. Lord, forgive me. Forgive them as I have.
Forgive me as I've forgiven them.
Exactly.
You got to say it all together for it to make sense. And you know, when you're pulling segments out.
But
then he does. But then he does. He honors that prayer. He says, okay, you didn't forgive them. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to honor that prayer. I'm not going to forgive you.
That's right. Forgive me as I have. Well, if you haven't, then guess what? God's not going to forgive you.
Exactly.
And it's like you got to make a choice. You know what I'm saying? Forgiveness is a choice. Love is a choice. You got to make the choice.
And you're so huge, though, that so many people who really, you know, might not even have a walk with God or say they're walking with God, they pray that prayer, you know, religiously, not realizing that you are actually speaking to God, saying, hold me accountable for my unforgiveness towards people. I mean, he's going to do it anyway, but you're like locking in with saying, listen, as I forgive others, forgive me.
Right.
And if we're not forgiving others, and he already said, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. What's interesting, too, is like you're saying, he says, but if you don't forgive them, not only will he not forgive you, but he won't forgive them. So we can, like you said, hold people in captivity quite often, that the very spouse or the parent who won't forgive a child, or a child won't forgive a parent, or a spouse won't forgive a spouse, or one brother won't forgive another brother or whatever. And that person can't get free until you forgive them, because God says, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive them either.
Yeah.
And one of the ways we can help people get free is forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them. Just forgive them. And God says, if you'll forgive them, I'll forgive them.
That's right.
That's right.
Isn't that wild?
That's right.
Who is this that has the power to forgive sins? What's easier, be able to take up your cot and walk, you know, with the man that was the paralytic that was on the mat or whatever, or is it say, your sins are forgiven you?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Think of it, that's powerful.
And let me tell you, life is too short. You know, how many times have we been at someone's deathbed and it's like, man, this is not the time to be having this talk. I mean, have it, please have it. Don't get me wrong, but you want to have this talk. You want to have this time of forgiveness way before. But I've seen it so many times at someone's deathbed. You know, at that point, now they start bringing everyone out, and you start, if they have that chance. But not everyone even has that chance at that moment. You can start today. You know, even the Lord's just showing you some people right now, giving some pictures and some thoughts of some folks. You know what? Run with that. That's God. Release them so that you can be free and they can be free.
And those are some of your biggest tests. Listen, you're going to walk with God. Your biggest test of love for God is to be treated unjustly.
Yeah.
To be taken advantage of. To be called wrong when you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And not hold unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And to let them go. And he says, this is your calling. This is what you're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
To suffer for doing right.
This is commendable.
This is commendable before God.
This is commendable.
Commendable. And so if somebody says, well, I got this peculiar thing going on. Somebody's offended me and I'm debating whether I should forgive. It's like, dude, that's our calling.
Mm-hmm.
Our calling is to work hard for God, love other people, and do what's right, and being called the opposite of all that.
Yeah.
And people try being used by the adversary to offend you. And the Lord's leaning over and watching. Okay, I know I forgave him. Will he forgive them?
Mm.
And it's the most freeing thing in the world. I mean, sometimes I remember, you know, the things that have happened that it's just like being in the ring with Tyson. I mean, things that just hits like, bam. I remember, you know, just all kinds of things. I can't, you know, I don't want to go into any details because everybody's had the very same thing. But it was such a big hit that it took me, by the time I got in my vehicle and drove down several roads and I walked into a store, I'm like not even there anymore. It was just such an amazing thing that I could have taken offense. I could have became bitter. I could have became resentful. I could have said, this is wrong and I'm going to hold this against you. Or I could have said, you know what? God, keep me from taking anything in my heart. I don't know how to handle this, but I'm going to love you. I'm going to love them. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to hold on. I'm not going to put, there's no category on this. And literally my head was spinning. It was like, whoa, whoa. You know, you wonder, it's like, do you know what you just did, Judas? Do you really know? Do you know what you just did? Right. You're like, do you know? And you just kind of go, okay, we can get through this. Mm-hmm. You just can't, you don't ponder it. You just, and this was, I mean, so many blah, man, you've seen some stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
But this particular situation was just such a hit.
Mm.
And it was like, bam. And I could have got better. But I decided to get better and to say, you know what? I'm not going to hold anything against this situation or that person or that or this. Let's just let it go. And it was amazing. It was like the empowerment that comes by that. And it's like, that's like this huge basket of love for God just goes up. It's like, whoa,
yeah.
Right? It's like this, wow, he loved me. He was willing to forgive. He imitated me.
Yeah. Well, that's, we're most like Christ when we forgive and love. We're most like him. We're walking just like him.
Right, right. And you have plenty of opportunities to do this. You're thinking, well, my dog, you know, I've never got a chance to do that. That's pretty cool. I wish I, you know, give me a chance like that. Just hold on.
Live a little bit.
Hold on. There's plenty of opportunities. And realize, you know, this happened to Joseph with his brothers. You know, he could have gotten bitter or better. He realized when Joseph was betrayed and all these things happened, he could have held unforgiveness towards them, but he loved his brothers. He loved them. And he said very specifically that when it came down to, it was all said and done, you know, he could have had unforgiveness in his heart. But he says, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Mm. And he's saying, listen, we can, you know, this is a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was amazing. And then he helped his very brothers that actually were being used by the adversary to do him in,
sure did.
Based on jealousy and all that kind of stuff. And you just have plenty of opportunities. So if you're a little concerned that you haven't been betrayed or, you know, things haven't happened wrong for you, or, you know, you haven't had a Tyson spiritual experience where somebody's gnawing on your ear after punting you out. A holy-filled experience, right?
Exactly.
Cut your ear bit off.
Doesn't feel quite holy, though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And those are moments when all of heaven is leaning down and angels are watching. Imagine all the second heaven's watching. Mm. Not second heaven. Probably second heaven, too, but all of, you know, God's angels are watching. They're going like, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when bitterness and resentment come for you? What are you gonna do when you've been betrayed? What are you gonna do when they looked you square in their face and they did you in? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? That's why we need each other, by the way.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time to talk to that. We need each other. We need to be able to call people up and that love us and to say, help, I'm venturing in the bitterness area. I'm venturing in the wrong area. The enemy's tempting me to go that way. You know, you go, no, remember, forgive. Let it go. Let it go. And it's like Lamas. You know, it's like, boom. And all of a sudden, it is gone. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.